If you think you know who you are, think again. That was my takeaway after talking with this week's guest, Christian Science practitioner and teacher Diana Davis Butler. She's joining us to talk about how gaining a new concept of your identity won't just help you out with those character flaws you've been meaning to tackle. It can also even bring physical healing. Here she is to tell us more.
At one point in my life, I began having heart problems, and it was very obvious. I mean, you could put your hand on my pulse and feel it. And I remembered that years before, when I was having babies, a doctor had offhandedly commented to me, "Well, you know you have a heart murmur, but if you've been able to have these babies, obviously it's just functional." Well, anyway, fast forwarding about 20 years, I started having heart problems, and I ended up taking 6 weeks off of work because I just couldn't function. Well, in my healing practice, I've noticed that one of the biggest needs we have is to get a correct sense of who we are. It means to me that if God is all, and I know that He is, and God is spirit, then spirit must be expressed, and it expresses itself as man and the universe. Mrs. Eddy gives an example, and that would be Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, gives an example of the sun. If you think of the sun as God, I mean, I'm not talking literally now, I'm talking metaphorically. If you think of the sun as God and all of the rays of the sun as the Christ or the divine idea, the expression of that sun, and each individual ray as you and me, you don't picture a sun ray coming out from the sun and saying, "Ooh, I think I'm not feeling warm enough today. I'm going to be cold. I may emit a little bit of light, but not very much." They all express light and heat and whatever else the sun is expressing, because that's their very being. That's their identity. Well, just so, if we are coming out from God, spirit, all we can express or be or know truly is what God is expressing, being, and knowing. And I began thinking, okay, is God knowing me as a mortal that could have an interrupted sense of well-being, an interrupted flow of good? Well, clearly that wasn't the case. And the more I really identified myself as one with infinite good, as manifesting only what God was knowing, it just completely melted away, and I've been free of it for 30 years now.
You know what I especially love about that, Diana, is that I have heard many, many people talk about their problems as my this or my that, you know, my cancer, my, you know, heart problem, whatever it is. And I love what you're showing us about the need to be sure we're not identifying with anything negative, be it disease or character flaw or anything like that. But that doesn't mean that we're then ignoring the problem. It's not, we're not saying, "Oh, that's not my disease," but, you know, just sort of letting it continue on in the background and saying la, 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 la. But it's in identifying ourselves with what's true and real based on, I'm assuming, what you've learned in Christian Science. Certainly that's what it is for me. You know, we start to see more of that reality of our identity as spiritual and whole and healthy actually come to light.
Well, it's kind of like if you find a vase that's been at the bottom of the ocean for 100 years, it might be made of pure gold, but when you pull it up, it's going to look ugly and crusted and have all these barnacles stuck to it. Now, you can either think those are the vase's barnacles. Well, that bad vase, look how it's all gotten itself deformed and ugly. And that's really what we're saying when we see ourselves as flawed mortals. Now, if you put that vase into fresh water, those barnacles are going to die and fall off, and you're going to see the beauty and the integrity of the vase that's always been there without those false pictures attached to it. That's what we do when we submerge ourselves in infinite mind and think out from spirit.
So let's unpack this concept of identity, specifically as God-based or God-defined, that you've learned about through studying Christian Science, because I want to make the distinction that we aren't talking about personality here, even a sense of ourselves as this parts good, parts bad human being. What we're talking about is what we'd call spiritual identity. So tell us more about how we can learn what that is. You know, how can we identify it?
Well, to me, we are so much more than this material picture presents. The closest I could come to explaining this would be to compare it to faith values that I think everybody's familiar with, and that's a sense of soul. And so many believe that there is this essence of man called soul that is trapped in a material body, but that soul is immortal. And in Christian Science, what we learn is that man's identity, or what others might call soul, is actually one with God. And our sense of body is in that consciousness rather than the other way around. It's just the opposite of what we normally think of. In other words, soul is infinite. It's the expression of the one infinite soul we call God.
Well, and so then just to take that a little bit further, then so when we're identifying with more of that essence of ourselves, what are we identifying with? What are the characteristics of that?
Well, when we start to understand who we really are, we're what the Bible tells us in Genesis 1, the image and likeness of God, the one infinite, immortal, ever-present soul that fills all space and expresses itself as man and the universe. So we would reflect all of the things that God is knowing and being of his own self-existent identity, loving, kind, immortal, spiritual, pure, ageless, and completely spiritual.
What about somebody who's been struggling with a character flaw for a really long time and they feel like it's almost just a built-in pattern at this point? What then?
It's really no different than identifying with a disease that you've had since childhood. You know, you've made it part of yourself in your thought because you can't really make it part of yourself. For when you start realizing I am one with infinite good, I reflect only what God is knowing, being, and doing. If you wouldn't say it about God, you should not say it about yourself.
So let's say that somebody is working to overcome a character flaw. So it sounds like the first step is in not identifying with that.
Yeah, don't claim it as your own.
Yeah, but I think somebody might say, for argument's sake, well, that's great, but I have a short fuse. Let's use that as a hypothetical example. So this person might say, well, I can say the words, I don't have a short fuse. But then this person finds themselves in a situation where they get set off and they might think, well, look, here I am with my short fuse again. So what might be another step in terms of helping someone to move past that?
Ask yourself, does the Christ consciousness, the divine idea of God, have a short fuse? And if you're thinking out from that Christ consciousness, how could you have something that God doesn't have? It's just not true. And when you find yourself feeling like you're just going to explode, stop and go, is that what the Christ is knowing? Is that what God is seeing? It can't possibly be part of me. And I am not going to give my dominion, my God-given dominion, to a lie. But you know, if we don't claim our correct identity constantly, then when these challenges come up, we don't know how to handle them. Whereas if you've been identifying yourself as God's idea and thinking as God would have you think, it becomes easier and easier.
What I like about that is how much it relates to just how we move through the world. You know, I think there can sometimes be a misconception that prayer happens in these little blocks of time, you know, maybe first thing in the morning, or people choose different times of day to pray. But it sounds like from what you're talking about, it's more just a way of being that's in tune with good or with God.
The only way I would know how to explain it is the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And I don't know how you would do that unless you're actually living your prayer. You're being the prayer. We have all been so programmed, if you will, to believe that we're material entities formed by matter with a material heritage, formed with genes and DNA and all of that stuff. And supposedly, we can be subject to certain diseases or character flaws or whatever. But if you think about it, it's no different than if you had been hypnotized to believe that you're a chicken and you were hatched from an egg and you live in a pen and you're supposed to hunt and peck and relate to other chickens. You wouldn't be very good at it. You'd probably starve to death. Now, do you need to be a better chicken, or do you need to wake up to the fact that you've never been a chicken? It's kind of like that. We don't need to be better mortals. We don't need to make ourselves beautiful mortals or honest mortals. We've never been mortals. We need to wake up to the fact that we are divine ideas, and we include all those lovely character traits of divine love as part of our being. That's who we really are.
Yeah, well, and what I love about what I've learned about identity from studying Christian Science is that we're not trying to heap on positive characteristics to kind of a semi-good identity. I feel like oftentimes on social media, that's more how this concept of identity, or I'd really call it personality, is talked about, that, you know, you sort of need to add to something or emphasize the good points and try to kind of push down the bad points. But from a spiritual perspective, we're discovering all of who we really are. And that includes the infinite qualities, the infinite spiritual qualities of God, going back to your sun and sunbeam analogy, that if God is the source, we must express all of those good qualities. There's no other option, which is great.
Exactly. We are divine ideas, and it is our divine nature to express good. You know that old statement, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what we're trying to do if we think we're making ourselves better personalities. We are the silk.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great way of thinking about it. Is there anything else that you want to be sure to add on this particular topic?
Yeah, I have one other thing. As you're thinking and learning to think this way, argue on the side of truth. Mrs. Eddy makes a wonderful statement in Christian Healing. She says, if you wish to be happy, argue with yourself on the side of happiness. Take the side you wish to carry, and be careful not to talk on both sides or to argue stronger for sorrow than for joy. To me, we need to take that concept and carry it, pardon the pun, religiously into every aspect of our life.
Mm.
In other words, don't argue for, well, yeah, but I'm just not good at that. Well, yeah, but I just don't feel God's presence. Well, yeah, but I'm just sad so much of the time. And we do that. We want to argue on the side of how miserable we are or how mortal we are. Instead, we need to mentally close that door and say, you know what? I see what the liar or the devil or whatever you want to call it is trying to tell me, but that's not who I am. I am a divine idea, and I include all of the glorious qualities that the infinite good is manifesting, and that would include joy, intelligence, infinite integrity, abundance, health, and so forth.
That's such wise counsel, because one of the things that I've noticed is how subtle it can be in terms of the thoughts that would try to get us to argue on the wrong side. You know, sometimes I hear people talk about this and it seems like it's, well, these thoughts are coming through our head like just they're on a neon sign. But I think a lot of times it's just, they just kind of float through the atmosphere and we don't even realize that we're agreeing with them.
Well, it's kind of like radio waves. They are out there all the time, but they're not in your radio. And if you turn your radio on and you're getting a bunch of hatred and fear and illness on a channel, it's not part of the radio. You can change the channel.
Mm.
And mentally, that's what we need to do, is change our channel from that false material viewpoint to the infinite perfection that is our divine nature, to learn to be who we are. And you know, the other side of that is goodness. In other words, you can't think, well, I am so good, I'm so intelligent, and I'm so beautiful, and I'm so talented. Oh, but I can't have a bad temper. You know, you have to take the whole thing. That intelligence and beauty and talent that you reflect belongs to God, and you're just the expression of it. It isn't a personal attribute. And as you start to work consistently out from that, that is thinking as an idea of God.
Mm.
And it precludes all of the bad things that would try to attach themselves to you.
Yeah, I love seeing how it seems to be two sides of the same coin, that we can't just take the good as our own, but then say, okay, but I don't want these bad things. We got to get the source correct. And when we get the source correct, we can truly see how good we really are, but that it's not our own personal goodness that can somehow be dinged up or damaged or taken away somehow.
And then it's never at risk.
Mm.
The moment we start identifying good as personally originating in us, then it's always at risk. It can always become something else. But when we identify it as God's, then it's inviolate. You can't lose it. And you know, there's biblical authority for that. And I'm sorry, I don't have the reference in front of me. But where the young man came to Jesus and says, "Good master, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And before he answered him, Jesus corrected him. He said, "Why callest thou me good?"
Mm-hmm.
There is one good, that is God. Now, if anybody could have claimed to be a good mortal, it was Jesus. But he didn't take that beat. Mm-hmm. He remained steadfast to the fact that all he could do was express God and God's infinite goodness. We have never been born into matter. We've never been defined by matter, by a material body or personality. And that, when you start really starting to embrace that understanding and think out from it, it's very freeing and joyful.
Yeah, that's such a great point, Diana. And thank you so much for everything you've shared with us today.
Well, thank you. It's just been my pleasure.
I've been speaking with Diana Davis Butler, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from Fresno, California. And thanks for listening to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.